The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, August the 26th, 2026, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Some Call It Liberalism, Others Call It Disobedience to God. And the time is 8:13 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Okay, so now it's time for your weekly news roundup that I call the John Swinton Report. In 1880, John Swinton, then the preeminent New York journalist, was the guest of honour at a banquet given him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged his colleagues when he replied with this statement: "There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper I am connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it and I know it, and what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Okay, so here we go. First up, we've got a story about a little doggy. And this little doggy belonged to a guy who was on one of these scooters that I've been on about, telling people that they never get stopped on these scooters. Well, it turned out that a police officer over in a place, I believe it's Warrington, that's somewhere up north, he was riding an e-scooter, and it says in this article from the Daily Mail, "Charles Foy, 41, was spotted riding an e-scooter, a vehicle that can't be insured and is illegal to use on public roads, by a patrol officer in February 2026. And he had a considerable smell of cannabis emanating from him, and two dogs were running alongside him. So the guy fled on his scooter, and the funny thing was he left his dogs, but one of the dogs led the police officers to his house. And they found him in the loft, and he came up with some story that the house was busy with other people, though it was actually empty at the time, I believe, and that was why he was hiding in his loft. All very, very silly. But I found it interesting because I've not seen any police pursuing any scooters in the area which I live. And it seemed to have happened in this case, but there you go. So it's interesting how they point out that a vehicle that can't be insured is illegal to use on public roads. So why are companies like Deliveroo, Just Eat, all these companies that use drivers that use these vehicles, why are they even allowed? I mean, you hear these stories about, if someone says something on social media we don't like, then we're going to fine Facebook. And so why aren't these companies being dealt with? It's almost as if they want these people on the roads knocking people over, isn't it? Because it's very simple to stop it happening, but nothing ever gets done. This is the first story I've seen of someone on an e-scooter being dealt with under the law, which is that it is illegal to ride it, use it on a public road. And that includes pavements. You can't be going up and down pavements. That's still a considered road. So, again, why are these things even on the streets? Why are they even being sold? Okay, so let's move on to, the great British criminal justice system. We've got a guy here, he's a grandfather, and he likes feeding pigeons. And the council have told him to stop, and he's refused, so they're now saying that they're threatening to send him to prison. He's known as the Birdman of Hartlepool, because he is known for feeding the pigeons. Well, I'll give you a story from a personal point of view. I used to like going down to a place called Carshalton Ponds with my girlfriend, and whenever we'd go there, we would feed the ducks, and sometimes you'd be lucky and you get swans there as well. And we'd feed them bird seed, which you can actually you could buy in a local shop, but I don't believe they still sell it. And that said something to me right then, and then feed monkey nuts to the squirrels. But I stopped doing so because I've read stories about people throwing nuts to the squirrels and being fined for littering. And what you find in situations such as this, I'll give you an example. There was an area that I was working in outer London, and they set up these officers they were annoyed with antisocial behaviour, people smoking, things like that. And so they employed a group of people. They weren't police officers, but they're working for the council to go up and find these people. So, you know, these people are supposed to be targeting gangs, that sort of thing, these unruly youths, stuff like that. But, you know, they didn't seem to want to get involved with those people. It was far easier to hang around the office blocks and wait for someone outside who worked there to throw his cigarette butt, because he's not allowed to smoke in the office, he's on his smoking break, and then pounce on him. Oh, we've got no threat to ourselves then, we'll just get our tickets that way. So completely against the purpose upon which this person was funded. But of course they didn't want to go up to these people and risk their own safety, so instead they got their tickets by going up to other people that were non-threatening. So this is the sort of thing that goes on in this country. It's absolutely pathetic. But I no longer feed pigeons or squirrels. So sorry for the hungry, the ducks rather. I've never been too keen on pigeons. I have literally, when I've been feeding these squirrels, when I used to, sometimes you throw a nut down, the squirrels, a lot of them are quite dumb and they miss it. And suddenly one of these big wood pigeons will come up and it'll gobble up the whole monkey nut with the shell on it, two nuts in it, and just eat it in one go and swallow it. Really weird. Okay, what else have I got? Talked about autism last week. Well, the BBC did a BBC in-depth article on it. A Split in the Spectrum, the Ongoing Battle to Define Autism is the title, if you want to read this. It's by Catherine Burns, their health correspondent. But all you need to do is scroll down for the information I needed to the bottom of the page under the subheading Moving Goalposts. It's the last subheading in the article, because I was talking about the rise in autism diagnoses in this country. It says here, Kaylee was diagnosed with autism in her 30s. She finds that people hold preconceived ideas about what autism is. She explains, some will assume you can't spell your own name, or you love trains, or you're extremely clever, or you're hyper-focused on a boring hobby. Since presumably this is since her diagnosis she's been given, if it was written properly, since her diagnosis she's been given various labels: Asperger's, high functioning, and AUDHD, that's autistic with ADHD. She says the goalposts keep moving. As an autistic person, I don't even know what I should be called. And so this is something else I've noticed, that there's certainly what the papers say. Now, I heard something that I hadn't heard before. It was Dave Gahari was on a show, and he was talking about something that Winston Churchill said, and he's not my favourite person. There's a biography of Winston Churchill by Major M.F. Thurgood called That Bastard Churchill, which I don't believe you can... I've got a copy of it. I've actually emailed the publishers because I've had a copy for a few years, and the only people that I know are printing it. You get to the last page and the sort of text runs out and it doesn't make any sense, and then it's supposed to finish on the next page. So it's a great... I don't know how much text is missing, but something's missing, and so I've emailed them, but I've not heard back, and I doubt I ever will, to find that missing bit of text. But Churchill said, there's no such thing as public opinion. It's published opinion. So do you understand that? So what they do, the mainstream media, they publish the opinion that they want the public to have, and then they call it public opinion. So that's something worth bearing in mind. And you do find with people, you know, who like Churchill, who I don't particularly like, they'll still come out with some interesting things that are worth taking, these little nuggets here and there. So never throw the baby out with the bathwater. These people can be quite conceited, and they sort of throw something like that out. Oh, I'm tired, I know this and you don't, sort of thing. But it can actually become useful to people who are trying to expose the mainstream media at a later date. So there you go. That's a little diversion there from autism. But another story... And this is a sort of not a trial balloon story like the, oh, we might extend the, what was it? No, when they had the lockdowns, they had the, what did they call them? Where you could visit one nominated person. Bubbles, that was it, a bubble. So you could have a bubble. And they ran that story in the Daily Mail about they were considering getting rid of the bubbles. And there was all this backlash in the comment section. And I firmly believe, and I may be wrong, that this was done to see what reaction they got in the comments, because subsequently, later that very same day, someone came out from the government and says, look, Boris Johnson's even in a bubble with his wife and her mother because she does childcare for their young child. Things like that. Well, this story from the Daily Mail, it's a headline here. Russians pull billions from banks over fears Putin will raid savings to pay for Ukraine war. Well, I look at this and I think, are they trying to say that this is something that Russia can do, so this is something that we could do in the West, whether, of course, Russia are doing it or not? Because that's what I got from that. Oh, is this your idea? Because we keep hearing about how, you know, much debt we're in and the US are in and all these different things, and they won't be the first time that they've bailed the banks out, will it? So maybe that's what they've got in mind. Don't forget the Cyprus bail-in. People were told. I remember Tim Refat. He believed he was directly targeted for that because he had a load of savings in the Bank of Cyprus. Lost a load of money. So maybe they're just floating that idea out there. Or maybe I'm overreacting. There you go. Let's see what else I've got here that I've saved in the last week. Here's another judgment I've made on a story. You may have heard that Prince Harry and Meghan are moving back to the UK after living in the United States for 6 years. I find this interesting because as soon as I heard this, we're hearing about all these stories, okay, that in September, October, this is when things are going to bite in America, all the fuel's going to run out, they haven't got enough reserves, and they haven't been able they haven't been able to prepare the farms with fertilizer, stuff like that, because of this conflict in the Strait of Hormuz and all this sort of stuff. And could it be that they know that there's going to be pandemonium in America? One thing that makes me think this is not the case is, how many times have you heard that there's disaster on the horizon? These clickbait, alternative, independent media, whatever you want to call them, journalists, that literally their bread and butter is in scare stories. So how many times have we been told that? Of course, we're being told it happened for a few months and that's when it's going to bite. Never actually has happened, has it? So based upon previous events, or rather non-events, it's not going to happen. But why would they leave the US now? I mean, it's not like it's a knee-jerk to something. I remember they were ridiculed by, was it South Park, something like that? And they've not been very popular in the United States for quite some time. So why have they left it until now? Again, this is how I look at the news. What is really going on? What does this mean? What does this signify? Of course, it means that I'm probably largely going to be wrong. But I honestly believe, when I see something like this, that if I had to put money, and I'm not a betting man, on them coming back because there's going to be some sort of crisis in America so bad it would affect their way of life, even them, at their level with their money, that they're coming to the UK now, or actually they just decided to come back, there's no particular reason, or certainly not that reason, I'd still put my money on there being an upcoming crisis in the US, and that's why they've come back. But I've got no evidence, it's only my gut feeling on this story. So there you go, we will see, and I hope it's not that, because I have a lot of friends in America and I don't want them to suffer. Andy Burnham, our new Prime Minister, I didn't vote for him, did you? I don't know anyone who voted for him. He was just somehow, we were told he's our new Prime Minister for some reason. Anyway, he's going to solve the prison overcrowding crisis. Well, they've already released loads of dangerous people, if the mainstream media are to be believed, or they're about to release them. But he's planning, I think that the men's jails are like 99% full, but the women's jails are 92% full. So what he's saying is he's going to use some of the space in the women's jails for men. And Sherry Blair, the wife of Tony Blair, has come out and said, this is terrible, I'm standing up for women, this isn't fair, and what have you. But my immediate thought was, they've been putting men in women's jails for years, haven't they? Oh, have I got that wrong? El Nino, now we're coming to the end of the summer. Well, I thought we were, but it was very hot again yesterday. And today it's supposed to be rather hot as well later in the day. I'll be going out. Not looking forward to that. But they're talking about El Nino, not so much for what it's doing in the summer, but what it's going to be doing in the winter. Because when you get all this extreme heat, apparently later on in the year you get storms and rain, and they're extreme too. Or is it, well, we can't boil people to death in the summer, in the winter, because it'll look too obvious, so instead we'll just terrorise them with storms and rain with our weather modification equipment, whoever controls that. Or am I in cloud cuckoo land? You decide. So they certainly seem to be prepping us for that in the mainstream media, because not a day has gone past in the last week when I haven't seen in the mainstream media some story about El Nino going to be affecting us in the winter as well, with the opposite of the heat. We're talking about extreme storms, rain, and even cold. Oh, my cursor's just jumped. That was very helpful. Let's bring it back. And then finally, you may have heard that Imran Khan has been in prison in Pakistan for quite a few years now, and he was their prime minister. And was he prime minister or president? But prime minister. A load of former cricket captains have written to the Pakistani regime asking that Imran Khan be given proper care while he's in custody, because there have been lots of concerns about his health. And I was quite not pleased to see a story like this, because Pakistan's biggest rivals would arguably be India. And one of the people who signed that letter was Sunil Gavaskar, who's one of their legendary batters. We had Sir Alistair Cook, who was an England captain, sign the letter. Other people that signed the letter were England's Michael Atherton, Michael Brearley, Nasser Hussain, Andrew Strauss, David Gower. From India, you had Kapil Dev and Dilip Vangsakar. And from Australia, you had Adam Gilchrist, Steve Waugh and Kim Hughes, among others. And he's been suffering in prison, Imran Khan. Apparently, he's only got 15% vision left in his right eye when he reported that he had a problem, and the prison authorities did nothing about it. So he seems to be being left to suffer in there. And I don't know a great deal about Pakistani politics, folks, but this guy was known as a populist, I think. And he seemed to be quite popular when he was in there, but suddenly, not only was he booted out, but he was taken to prison. And what, by all interpretation that I can see, locked up to be shut up. And that's not right at all. So my prayers are with Imran Khan, and I hope that he receives justice. I don't see what he's done to earn this stay in prison. Okay, so let's see what I've got next, and that is the Something For You To Listen To section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Mexico by Vangelis, Calimeris and Chorus. I bet you've heard of them, which was my favourite track on an album called Hot Summer Nights that I asked my parents to buy me whilst I was on holiday even with them in Greece in 1979 when I was 6 years old. I always found it strange that they were singing about Mexico on a Greek album, and despite the fact I couldn't understand the words, I found the song quite catchy and still do today. This is one of these things that I bought in recent years when I decided to buy everything again that I had when I was a child and had subsequently got rid of. And let me tell you, it's not a rewarding experience. It was something I thought I'd do, and I did it, but in the end, I just got a load of clutter that I probably only ever looked at the one time I got it out of the packet when it was delivered and haven't really looked at it since. Nevertheless, I was pleased to find it on YouTube because I have the record, but I no longer have the software to transfer a record onto MP3. So it was nice that someone actually put it up on YouTube because it was the only song on the album that I liked. I remember, because I was mad on music when I was younger, when I was in Greece, I'd always want to look at the records, not realising that, you know, bouzouki music and sitarchi dancing aren't actually going to be that much fun to listen to. But this track is one of the exceptions to the rule, in my opinion. Now, the film review I had for you, I postponed till next week. Because yesterday, I was watching a DVD I picked up in the charity shop, I think it was about £1, called 50 Years of BBC Television News, Decade by Decade. Now, something like this, I thought, well, the BBC, certainly in my lifetime, have been a very much put their own slant on it, which seems to be a very much politically correct slant, that sort of thing. But I thought, yeah, this goes back to 1954. It's 50 years of television news are between 54, their first broadcast, and 2004 when this thing came out. And quite frankly, I mean, I've got a book, A Pictorial History of the 20th Century, and a lot of their conclusions to historical events I wouldn't conclude in the same manner, but I still found it interesting to look at the images and what have you. But you see, those images don't talk. They don't have a reporter narrating them to you. And the amount of times I heard peaceful protests when afterwards you find that these people doing the peaceful protest have burnt whole areas of cities down in places around the world. And the BBC never seemed to quite square that circle. And I was reminded of the mostly peaceful protests. Yeah, they had to tell us they were mostly peaceful when you had these Black Lives Matter protests in the UK. They had to tell us they were mostly peaceful because it was in the UK. It wasn't over in other countries where people in the UK might not be able to come back and report. And of course, back when most of this was done, the only source of news was the newspapers and the television. Now people can put things up on social media, so they have to be a little bit more careful now. So they have to put mostly in there. If they didn't have all those, you can bet your bottom dollar that whether they were, they'd still call them peaceful, even if there was any violence. That's my opinion. Again, I might be wrong. But I just saw this pattern going through it. And it seems like there's certain I have to be careful here because I live in the UK, but I just found it not believable, what the reports that they were giving me based upon what I've learned over the years, not from the BBC, but from proper sources that actually give you the article. I'll give you the story and you look into it. But yeah, they've been at this for years after looking at this DVD. One thing I found interesting was in the last section, because it's divided up into five sections. It starts off with 54 to 63 and it ends with 94 to 2004. I'll read you the description on the back cover. Jeremy Bowen introduces the age of 24-hour news. I think they've cancelled that now because they ran out of money. When the world watched the September 11th attacks live on television. Well, I found that interesting because the BBC, wasn't it the BBC who had the woman sat in front of the live feed and told the audience that Building 7 had just come down when it was still stood up behind her? And then when people contact the BBC about it, they said, we don't comment on conspiracy theories. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory to say a building that's not been hit, your presenter said it's just come down. Why would it have come down when it hadn't even been hit? And then it does come down. It sounds like you're being given information and you've kind of put it out the wrong time. You put it out early. But it's best for us not to comment at all. But funnily enough, that footage was not in this section on 9/11 attacks for some reason. I'm surprised. I mean, why don't they get Mariana Spring to investigate it? They're always so keen to investigate these so-called conspiracies. Maybe find out why that took place. And the other thing I found interesting is when it showed the towers coming down, it showed them coming down from the top, from the roof, looking down upon it. And I wonder if that was so that you couldn't see the little pop, pop, pop that the firemen were talking about in the footage I saw of the floors below as the building came down, as if it came down like a controlled demolition would bring a building down. We have explosives on each floor going off at timed intervals in order to bring the building down. That footage was curiously not there. It was the buildings were shown, as I say, from the roof coming down that way. Or, you know, am I just reading too much into it? As I always say, you be the judge. But I will give you the opportunity to be the judge. Unlike the mainstream media, which are not really a news organisation, they're published opinion. They give you their published opinion, or whoever's told them to publish an opinion, and try and convince you that that's what everyone believes. So you better believe it as well, otherwise you'll be the odd man out and no one will talk to you, mate. Okay? So there you go. Right, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So we'll start off with Associated Press. See what the top story is here, if it ever loads up. The US and Canada could pull back from an all-out trade war. It's not clear that they will. Yeah, this sort of stuff, these things always get resolved one way or another. Okay, it's just a non-event. What do they call it? I think, is it the same in America at the moment? All the politicians have gone home for their summer holiday. Yeah, most people, they only get 4 weeks a year, don't they, holiday? But politicians, they get a load of weeks in the summer. They get a load of time off at Christmas. And they get a great big salary as well. It's a very charmed life they seem to lead. So, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. Let's go over to the BBC. We'll do their top 10. See what's happening there. Just making sure I'm not missing anything here. A very bad memory at the moment. So let's see. Go to BBC. Click that. Scroll down. So these are the top 10 most read stories at the present time. Number 10, Dolly Parton, A Life in Pictures. Number 9, CIA chief travels to Moscow for unannounced talks, US media reports. Number 8, as Ukraine hits Russia's refineries, Russia targets Ukraine's petrol pumps. Number 7, father's house rammed before son died in A66 crash. Number 6, how Dolly Parton told her life story through 6 iconic songs. Only thing I remember about Dolly Parton, I couldn't tell you a Dolly Parton song. I've never really been that interested in country music, apart from there's an Eric Clapton album called Money and Cigarettes, which you never see any representation from on any of the greatest hits album of his. But there's a great song on there which sounds like country called Man Overboard, which is just fantastic. I really enjoy that song. And a couple of other ones, Everybody Ought to Make a Change and The Shape You're In. They're both off that album, but never seems to be touched, that album, for some reason. Instead, you find all this boring blues stuff. I made a mistake. I was at a car boot sale and I bought this CD. For years, there was a Clapton Best Of CD, one disc called The Cream of Clapton. And then they brought out The Best of Clapton, which was basically the same disc, even the cover, but they changed the word cream to best. It's just ridiculous. And I saw this CD, it was a double, the guy only wanted 50p for it. It was called Clapton, Complete Clapton, or Clapton Complete, something like that, two discs. And I found some interesting songs on it. One of which he did, I think, with J.J. Cale, The Road to Escondido. Let me bring it up if I can find it here. Because one thing that, again, there was nothing from the Money and Cigarettes album on it, but I did find some tracks on there. It caused me to delve back into the album that I grew up with, 1989's Journeyman, which I thought, I only had the song Bad Love off it, but Pretending was on this compilation album. That sounded quite good, so I went and listened to Journeyman again. I got another couple off there, No Alibis, which is quite good, and Anything for Your Love, so I've kept that CD. Ride the River was probably, it's from The Road to Escondido, which was released in 2006. I thought that was a great track. You might find that online, very catchy, and yeah, so there you go. But anyway, let's divert back to where I diverted from, and that's the BBC Top 10. Oh no, Dolly Parton, I'll get there in the end. I remember that Tex Mars, he said a lot about how George Bush, I don't know if he was asked or he just volunteered the information, but his wife's favourite film was The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which I believe Dolly Parton was in. So that was something, that was what that sort of probably unwanted piece of information I was getting to for you there. Okay, so number five, household energy bills to hit three-year high as Ofgem announces 4% rise from October. So again, we're seeing all these things going up. I'm not sure people's salaries are going up in conjunction with them, but they just want to squeeze you more and more and more. And we know they don't want you to eat. They don't want you to have energy. They just... And that's why I find these things going on in the Gulf. I heard Brendan O'Connell on the Jeff Rentz programme yesterday or the day before, and he was talking about, I've heard this before because I spoke to have Brendan O'Connell on the show once, and he actually, I think he sought some sort of sanctuary in Iran when he was being pursued by the Australian authorities. I might be wrong. I believe he did live there, and I believe that was the reason. And he said, whether it was to me directly or on a show I heard him on, that this Iranian regime that's, you know, portrayed as so anti-Western, all that, is controlled by the same people. And he said similar things in the programme with Jeff Rentz that you, I don't know if it's up for free on his website, rentz.com, or you can go to rentzradio.com and become a subscriber like me. But it's a very interesting hour, well worth listening to. So anyway, number four, a nosy polar bear and a lucky squirrel, Wildlife Photographer of the Year 2026 shortlist. It's worth a look, that story. The reason is that there is one of a toad. I made the comment, I don't like pointing out physicalities, being as I suffer from them myself, but I've always felt that Nigel Farage reminded me of Toad of Toad Hall, Out the Wind and the Willows. Well, there is a picture of a toad by a drain in Japan in these photographs. They're really nice to look at, these photographs. It's actually something the BBC has put together that I didn't look at the write-ups for them because it, you know, probably be a, I don't know, a minority toad or something like that that was protesting for rights or something like that if I read the bit underneath. I just enjoyed looking at the picture and I didn't want it to be ruined for me by the BBC. But again, as soon as I saw that toad, it reminded me of Nigel Farage. So maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. Maybe you want to find out. The headline is A Nosy Polar Bear and a Lucky Squirrel, Wildlife Photographer of the Year 2026 shortlist. If you put BBC before that in your search engine, that should be your first result. Number three, We Will Always Love You, Dolly. That looks like a tribute article. Number two, why Pride is facing a backlash from inside and outside the LGBT community. It's interesting, they seem to run with minorities to serve their own purpose and then they drop them when they no longer need them. That's what I've seen from the people who really run things historically. See if that's the case here. And number one, dad of woman who took her own life says Treasury failed in its duty of care. Let's go over to the Daily Mail. The thing about Daily Mail, it's been in recent weeks. You load it up and I get a window pop up. Do you want to exit this page or do you want to wait? I mean, it's supposed to be one of the biggest news websites in the world, but they can't get their page to load up properly. They don't understand that it can only be of a certain size. Otherwise, it won't be. Unless they're using other software in there to try and stop people like me who look at it through Brave Browser, because I don't want to see all their adverts. I remember Michael Walsh said to me some years ago, he doesn't look at the Daily Mail because he can't, because he doesn't use a browser that blocks adverts. And he said that there's so many that come up that he just can't work with it. So I have an ad blocker on Google Chrome and I have to use that as well. All the top stories are about Dolly Parton. The top news story below that is Andy Burnham is warned that Britain faces impending Russian attack over its support for Ukraine. Well, again, if you go to that Brendan O'Connell piece, he will tell you that all these people are all friends and they're all working together. He may be right, he may be wrong, but I'm more inclined to think, yeah, when the Illuminati was set up in 1776, so they've been at it for 250 years, recruiting people into their organisation that they were going to make into leaders of countries. How many people slip through the net and you suddenly get a rogue person? I believe it happens in, you know, you get some sort of coup in some insignificant country in Africa, something like that, that most of us have never heard of. I say insignificant to the globalists because they will, it'll be a minor irritant to them and they'll deal with it eventually. Like that guy who came out during COVID and said that he'd, you know, tested a goat and a piece of fruit and stuff like that for COVID and they'd all come back as had COVID just to try and show that the testing was a complete sham. I don't believe he's still the leader of that country. Was it Tanzania? I may be right, I may be wrong, but I don't believe he's still in post. So something happened there. Maybe he was just naturally elected out. I don't know. But they do get to these things. But I think anyone of any world power, I'd be very surprised if they got there without being controlled by the same people that control the Western governments. That's my opinion, based upon history. Okay, so let's go over now to the, excuse me, the independent so-called stroke alternative media, whatever you want to call it. So we'll start off with rents.com. Top story, no oil to leave Persian Gulf if economic war continues. Make America hungry again, Galibaf to Trump. Presumably Galibaf is someone out of Iran. And again, that takes me back to the Prince Harry and Meghan story. This is the sort of things I'm basing my opinion on as to why they've suddenly come back to the UK. Okay, so let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Top story is the Dolly Parton one again. Then there's a covert intel, which you have to pay to see what that is, to do with Moscow, presumably to do with the story below, motorcade with American license plate seen in Moscow, which was picked up by the mainstream media as saying it's a CIA director over there for some reason. So what is he doing over there? And again, I thought that these people, well, not necessarily under Trump. I think Trump's been championing Putin at points, certainly, very different to what Biden was doing. So we will see. But again, I look at, I'm not interested in what's on the surface. I'm interested in what's really going on behind the scenes, the people that are really in charge, not the puppets that they put in front of you, like journalists that John Swinton was talking about to tell you things that they want you to hear. Okay, so let's move on to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. See what's going on over there. Scroll down. He has just been putting stuff up, I believe, today. Let me scroll down. Oh, he's got the John Swinton quote. There you go. So that's good. The John Swinton quote, I've decided to open my news coverage with each week. Because, you know, it's a very important quote. And the mainstream media are always telling, oh, it's a conspiracy, it's a conspiracy. All this, it's not verified. Oh, let's go to BBC Verify. Let's fact check. Let's go to all these things. And then you find that all these things are mainstream. And a guy from 1880 is telling you that what's in the mainstream is basically lies. So they claim, because they give each other awards and Pulitzer Prizes. He only gets that because he was such a good journalist. Yeah, he was such a good slave to the system. He told us what we wanted to hear. Don't forget that David Rockefeller quote. When he was at that Bilderberg meeting, when was it, 80s, 90s? Basically said we wouldn't have been able to get away with what we were doing if we hadn't had the compliance of the media in not reporting us. And for years they denied that the Bilderberg group even existed until they finally decided to come out. And it was Tony Gosling that had the Bilderberg.org website for years that reported on the guest list and things going on there. And I think it's no coincidence that they chose BilderbergMeetings.org. I mean, who uses .org for a website? Very few people. Generally would go with a .com name, especially a group like that. But I think they did .org because they wanted to get people away from Bilderberg.org to BilderbergMeetings.org. But then again, I have to stress this is my opinion, you see, because if I don't say that, did he say something we don't like? He's trying to convince people of something. Maybe we can get him on that. There you go. So let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10 from beforeitsnews.com. Let's see what these people are talking about in the so-called independent stroke alternative media. Number 10 went up 14 hours ago, 42 people viewing, and we know 825-26 states with 3.4 million vote-to-voter discrepancy, 23.5 million errors and SCOTUS victory prey. Well, that's the riddle for today's show. If you can make any sense of what that headline actually means, then I congratulate you. Number 9 went up 2 days ago, 43 people viewing. Cliff High Emergency Broadcast, 8:24:26. What we can expect next. Number 8 went up 9 hours ago, 53 people viewing. Michael Jaco, Dangerous Intel, 8:25:26. Violence in Cities Coming. Number 7 went up 2 days ago, 55 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez and Mel Kay. It's a Trap, 8:24:26. The Government Will Collapse. Number 6 went up 9 hours ago, 60 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez. These are like the Beatles, these people, aren't they? It's all the same names that keep popping up in the same top 10. Never mind every week, they're in the same one. I mean, didn't the Beatles have a few albums, singles in the top 10 at one point? I'll start again. Number 6 went up 9 hours ago, 60 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez. A Great Divide is Coming. 8:25:26. Do not be deceived. No, read beforeitsnews.com and you won't. Number 5 went up 3 hours ago, 77 people viewing. Byington Bombshell Report. Advanced healing, drug less, free med bed treatments soon available. I sometimes feel embarrassed that I don't know who I am or what I represent, because if I'm lumped in with independent alternative media with stuff like there's a bed that you lie in and it repairs everything that's wrong with your body, I mean, that's just an embarrassment, anyone that would actually believe something like that as well. And it just goes to show the gullibility of people out there, that people can get away with putting out information like that and know that there's going to be people, sadly, that are going to believe it and it's going to discredit. And that's what it's designed to do. Something you need to be careful of as well. People, and this has happened to me in a capacity, I'd have people come to me and they tell me something, a story, and hope that I wouldn't verify it and then report on it because they made it up, or whoever employed them or was paying them made it up and got them to tell me in the hope that I would say it, because they wouldn't go to the person who told me. They'd come after me, you see, because that was the purpose of it. And you find a lot of people who come out with stories that in the so-called independent alternative media that just do not seem believable. But nothing seems to happen to them. But I'm sure if people were to quote them who were on the radar of the powers that should not be, they'd be the people that they'd go after, and these other ones that put the stories out there are completely untouched because they're serving a purpose. I'm extremely careful with things because I'm a targeted individual, You know, it's just the way it is. I wish it wasn't, but it is. So I just urge you not to be aware of these traps. Never just come out with something that you've read somewhere, because it could well, that's the design of it. They want you to come out with something that they've made up to use against you at some point in the future. Okay, number four. Went up 6 hours ago, 103 people viewing. X22 report, D's election rigging system exposed. Besant is about to bring down the deep state infrastructure. Yes, Besant's going to bring down the deep state. Oh, joy. Number three, went up 2 hours ago, 115 people viewing. Judy Byington, Judy Byington, Juan O'Savin and Ricardo Bossi, Obama bombshell, 8/26/26. Number two went up 9 hours ago, 141 people viewing. Gene Decode, Big Intel, 8/25/26, the new announcement from us. Ooh. And number one went up 12 hours ago, 175 people viewing. Scott McKay, situation update, 8/25/26, Trump just made a huge mistake. Yeah, just. Okay, well, that's it. So let's play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me on I'm Talking to You, episode 277. Some call it liberalism, others call it disobedience to God. I'm planning to be back with you with Peter next Tuesday. There'll be Bible readings in between. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.